Amen. So I praise God. Now, certainly we give thanks for the relationship between myself and Pastor Carpenter, who I met down at the Hour of Power on Tuesdays downtown. We come down there to hear a word from my pastor, Pastor Waller, and to the young lady who won a medal at the state hurdles. Enon has a hurdle champion up there, too, so I had to get that little plug in there. Now, my wife, I'm still married. My wife is down in North Carolina with her mother. My mother-in-law celebrates her birthday on July 4th. I always use my mother-in-law to help me around Christmas time because, you know, some people always want to say Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Well, my mother-in-law celebrates her birthday on July 4th, but my two of my sister-in-laws started investigating one day, and they found out that my mother-in-law's birthday is really not on the 4th, but it's on the 3rd. But she celebrates it on the 4th. But it doesn't make any difference what day she was born or what day they celebrated on. The fact is, the proof that she was born is that she has some children. In the same way, it doesn't make any difference when Jesus was born. It doesn't make any difference what day we celebrated on, because is there anybody here that's a child of the King? That's proof that he was born. This morning, I won't be before you long. I know all Baptist preachers say that, but I mean it. You heard the scripture, and I know your scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the scripture for today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And today, we're going to talk about, or the theme, the thought for the day is, yes, you can trust him, but you've got to decide to. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for a chance to stand. And Lord, now that I am standing, I ask you to decrease me, that your word might increase. And Lord, since I'm standing, I also pray selfishly for traveling mercies for my wife and my daughter and my grandson as they come from North Carolina back here. Give them traveling mercies too. And I know if I turn that over to you, it will calm my spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, you heard the scripture. There's a Jesus, of course, in chapter 8, Jesus had, we're familiar with the woman caught in the very act of adultery in John 9. And after Jesus deals with her, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And the rest of John 8, he is in this, always this constant turmoil created by the religious people. The Pharisees, they want Jesus to abide by the 613 laws, man-made laws that they came up with. The Ten Commandments weren't enough for them, so they came up with 613 laws, and they wanted man and they wanted Jesus to abide by them. He said, the Sabbath is for man, but I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So when it comes to John 9, we see Jesus and the fellas are walking, and scholars would say that they might be near the temple, and they come upon a man who is born blind. They asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because the belief back then was that if somebody was handicapped or somebody had a disability, that they must have sinned in the womb of their mother, or that the parents themselves sinned somewhere. So they asked the question, who sinned for this man to be born blind, him or his parents? Jesus said, neither one, but that the works of God might be manifest in him. And he went over to the man and he spit on the ground and made some mud out of the spit. Now, in that time, also the spittle of an important person was thought to have powers. So this could have been used as a way to increase the blind man's faith. Jesus spit on the ground, made mud, and put it on the man's eyes. Because scholars, again, some of them have said that this man wasn't just born blind, but that his disability was such that he did not even have eyes. Well, Jesus made mud. But you know that if you go back to Genesis, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. What is mud but wet dust? So God, Jesus Christ, who in Colossians it said of him that through him all things were created. So Jesus is the creational force of the universe. So for him it was no big deal to just make an adjustment, just like sculptors do. So he spit on the ground, made mud, put it into man's eyes, and told him to go to the pool of Siloam. Says he went and he washed and he came back seeing. The Pharisees were hot about that. They said, and the neighbor said, that looks like Jody. Looks like the one that was sitting out there begging. Looks like him, but it can't be. And he said, I am he. So then the Pharisees, they couldn't negate the healing. So they had to find out how it happened. And that's when he said, a man called Jesus spit, made mud, told me to go wash, and I came back seeing. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. That's basically the story. But this is a living word. It's just not a story book. This is the living word. And there's some things in the living word that can apply to us today. You can trust him, but you've got to make up your mind. You know, I'll be 66 in a couple weeks, and let me rewind. That would have been a real good time for a really. So let me rewind that. I'll be 66 in a couple weeks. Oh, amen. This studying for this made me reflect on some things that I have trusted. Back in the 60s, there was a lot of turmoil, black power this and black power that. And one of my friends was a student leader at Maryland State University. I think now it's called Maryland Eastern Shore in Princess Anne, Maryland. Well, he was a student leader down there, and he was rabble rousing and black power this and, you know, power to the people that. And so his mother said, I'm going to have to go down there and get him. So his sister and I said that wouldn't look good for the student leader of the protest to be dragged off campus by his mother by the ear. So we said, we'll go down and check on him. We went down to Maryland Eastern Shore, Princess Anne, Maryland. I did have geography, but I forgot that's on the other side of the Mason-Dixon line. And before the meeting that night, this giant state policeman told us, you'll be all right. You don't have anything to worry about. So I trusted him. We went in the meeting, and there was fervent speech making and power to the people and what we weren't going to stand for anymore and this, that, and the other. When we came outside of that building, less than a stone's throw away was at least a 10-foot cross burning. So I thought about it this morning. The man said we were going to be all right. Because, trust me, if they could have got the cross that close, they could have gotten it much closer. But at that time, I thought, well, I can't trust him. Well, then in the 60s also, there was this move that we don't need to go to church anymore. All we have to do is get some political power. That'll fix things for black folk. And we started this push to elect more black officials. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to mention anybody by name because I don't know who your cousin is in here. So let me just say that I think it's been proven that political power by itself is just not enough.
Well,
I even in the 60s listened to some gurus.
Come on now.
And they said, marijuana won't hurt you. It's not a gateway drug. It won't lead you to anything else. You can use that so that you can get deeper spiritually. I thought I saw some familiar faces through the haze. Well, I believe that. And 25 years later, I was a homeless addict on the street. Couldn't trust them. But along the way, and by, I'm so glad I met a man that I could trust. But you've got to make up your mind. As we see, we come to some moments when we have to make up our mind who we're going to trust. But the devil is busy too. He doesn't want you to trust him. So he's going to throw up some things in your face. First thing that comes out of the text, let me just go back to verse 7. It says, having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So first thing that comes out is this was a blind man. And I don't think we get the essence now of what it means to have been blind back in biblical times. I'm not putting down SSI or disability or anything like that, because it's a wonderful thing. Not, of course, we also thank God for schools like Overbrook School for the Blind, or Seeing Eye Dogs, and those kind of industries that hire blind folk today. But back in biblical times, if you were born blind or if you had any kind of disability, you were an absolute burden. And the only thing that you could do, you were reduced to begging. Jesus told this man to go. So the first thing that jumps out for me is that don't let your situation shake your trust. Don't let your situation shake your trust. Whether that situation was one you were born into or one you created yourself. Listen. God is not a God who would come down to you and say, you know, if I knew the parents that you was going to be born to, I would do it all over again. I just didn't know. I just didn't know who was going to give birth to you. If I had known the situation at home that you were going to be born into, I would have done it differently. No. Jeremiah says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So we can push it way back, but God knew when your grandmother and grandfather were talking to each other, he got them two together so that all four grandparents, so that they could produce your mom and your dad, so that they could produce you. So God is not surprised by any situation you are born into. In fact, God allowed you to be born into the situation you were born into. And then if we come over to the New Testament, into Ephesians chapter 2 around verse 10, it says that we were masterpieces. Now, my wife does a wonderful thing with prints, P-R-I-N-T-S. Where I'll go get a print somewhere, then she goes to somewhere like TJ Maxx or Marshall's or Ross and gets those frames, you know, the frames with the ugly picture in it. She gets that, takes the ugly picture out, puts the print in, and puts it on our wall in just a great place. The thing about a print is that you will see it somewhere else. But the Bible says you are a masterpiece. Which means that there won't be another you at all. Masterpieces are valuable. At the very least, to the creator of the masterpiece. God allowed you to be born, and word says that you're his masterpiece and created for good works. So you were allowed to be born. So that you could do the specific good work that God has for you to do. Also now, so you can't be dissuaded or don't let the devil tell you that your situation is too hard for God, the one that you were born in. But also, if you created your own situation, don't think that anything is too... Listen, when Mary was informed by the angel that she was going to have a child without having known a man, she had a question, how's this going to happen? And the angel simply answered back, is anything too hard for God? So if God lets you be born, yes, when he gave us flesh and put free will in us, he knew that at least some of us were going to make a mess. Anybody in here make a mess with some decisions that they've made? But he said, God says, listen, if you are still here, then he's not done with you. If we can praise him no matter what, when we, like the prodigal son, come to ourselves. If we are still here, meaning if we have breath, then we can praise the Lord. And it's not done yet. There is still more to be done. That assignment that he created for you is still there. So don't let your circumstance shake your trust. Second thing is, don't let your journey shake your trust. The man, Jesus sent the man to the pool of Siloam. And I was thinking now, some of us, or myself maybe, I would have been saying, like, Jesus, in John chapter 5, there was a man already by a pool. You just told him, you didn't even tell him to get in the pool. You just told him to get up. There was a leper in Luke chapter 5, had a withered hand. You just told him to straighten out his hand. Jesus, did you forget I'm blind? And you sending me somewhere that I don't know how to get to? And get this. If you look in the back of your Bible at the map of Jerusalem in Jesus' time, you'll see that there are about 5 pools. And depending on where if the man was near the temple, there might be 2 pools that are closer than the pool of Siloam. So Jesus said, this is teaching us, don't let your journey shake your trust. Because over there in Jeremiah 29, the word says, for I know the plans I have for you. The plan Jesus had for the man, some kind of way, involved him having to go maybe further than he wanted to go. He had to trust a little more than he wanted to trust. But Jesus said, go, he didn't just say go wash. If we go to the Old Testament, there was a man named Naaman who was a leper. And he was told to wash in the Jordan 7 times. So can't you see him? 1, nothing different. 2, nothing different. 3, nothing different. And so on until when he was obedient, when he went down the 7th time, my skin is soft as a baby. There was a man named Joshua who was told to walk around Jericho 1 time a day for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, walk around 7 times. All that walking, there was no result. Now, I mean, I don't know how big around Jericho was, but it wasn't a walk around the block, I can guarantee you that. So all that walking, nothing happened. Until what God told him to do was completed. on the seventh time around on the seventh day. And when the trumpet shouted, when the trumpet was played, that's when the wall came tumbling down. This man was told to go to the pool of Siloam. And he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Now, there are some specific instructions that the Lord gives us in the Bible for our journey. Young people, he says, be not drunk with wine to excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Young people, he says, honor your mother and your father that your days may be long. All of us, he says, don't be deceived about this. Bad company corrupts good character. Because we're going to be faced with some stuff along the way. Young people, he says, flee fornication. He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who is from God, and you are not your own because you were bought with a price? So glorify God in your body. Yeah. Along the way, no matter what somebody's saying to you, you can ask yourself, who am I going to trust? Am I going to, well, let me say, I got a lot of daughters, so I can't call the guys what I want to call them. But he's going to say, oh, who should I believe, young ladies? Who should I believe, this guy that's whispering all this stuff in my ear? Or should I believe what the Bible says? If I do what he's whispering for me to do, does God get glory? So, he says, first of all, don't let your circumstances shake your confidence, your trust. Don't let the journey shake your trust. Some of us have a longer journey than others. Co-pastor, I think, referenced the scripture, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time or due season, you will reap a harvest if you faint not. That word will is a major word for me. Shall, will, or promise words. When you go over to Titus, you'll find out that God can't lie. So who you gonna trust? And when you trust him, stick to it. So you can't let your situation or your circumstance shake your trust. Don't let your journey shake your trust. Don't worry about what's happening to Susie. Don't worry about what's happening to Johnny. The good preachers will tell you that if you're around somebody being blessed, that means blessings are in the neighborhood. So you need to hold on to God's hand. Continue your walk. Paul says, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But we all have issues. I got one, let's see. I pull amen out of my own pocket. Amen, Minister Glenn. Try that again. We all have issues. Amen. Yeah, but we all don't have the same issue. So I can't be concerned about you and how, I mean, I praise God if you're working on your issues. But you working on yours is not me working on mine. And the success that you're having on yours is not the success I'm having on mine. So we all have to work out our own salvation. Don't let your circumstance shake your trust. Don't let your journey shake your trust, because the reason why God is putting us through or setting up situations so we go through what we go through is so that we can all preach a sermon. Well, now, your pastor can preach. Yeah, let me rewind that one. Y'all better come up with an amen on that one. Next time. Your pastor can preach. Amen. And my pastor can preach. And there's some I watch on TV. I mean, he's passed away, but G.E. Patterson can hoop with the best of them. I watch him. I watch some others. They can preach, but there are some people that you can preach to that none of the tip-top pastors in the world can preach to. It said in the Bible that when the man had done the assignment the Lord gave him, and he came back changed, the neighbors, those that knew him from growing up, they said, that looks like Bible doesn't say he went home and changed. Doesn't say he went over to Leo's and bought. Doesn't say he went to Men's Warehouse or Boys and bought a new suit. He went to the Pool of Siloam and came back changed. The neighbors talking about, that looks like him. He said, no, it's me. They said, well, how did this happen? And that's the chance for you to preach a 4 or 5 word sermon. And we could all start it the same way. A man called Jesus came into my life. He told me what to do. I was blind. I couldn't see how it was going to get done. But I took him at his word. I followed his directions. And I came back different. I'm not special. He didn't pick me because I was a special blind man. So that must mean that if you are obedient to Jesus, he can do the same thing for you. In fact, the Bible says that after they tried him in an unjust court, and after they put him up on an old rugged cross, one of the things that happened up on that old rugged cross was that he took on and became all of our sins. And he said once he got the very last sin that is ever going to be committed in his body, that's when he said, it is finished. Then they stuck him in the side just to be sure that he was dead. But oh, if they had known what I know. Because the blood that came out of that side. The blood that came out of that side. The blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, never, ever lose its power. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in that tomb all night Friday night. And the devil and the Pharisees and every non-believer thought that it was over. Jesus gave him an extra day. He stayed in there all day Saturday. And all day Saturday night. But early, somebody say early, Sunday morning, he got up. And when he got up, he had all power in his hand. Power enough for us to trust in him and let him deliver us from all unrighteousness and direct our path. You can trust him, but you've got to choose to do so. Amen. I'll open the door. Okay.